scriptures, beloved, shall we? Okay. Wonderful, beloved, the way God works. I was at a meeting in London not so very long ago, and Sanjay was there, I think. And God did everything in that meeting by prophecy. I didn't have to preach that night. It was also very wonderful. We had about 2 or 3 hours in the presence of the Lord. Some prophecies came, the word came. People cried out, sought God, came out. Another word, that's the way it went. Some of us were there, 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 of us, I think. It was all very, very precious. And I suppose that this is the sort of thing that God really wants to do among us as we move, that things are said through the Spirit, and there's communication in the Spirit, Spirit to Spirit, and things happen, and all sorts of wonderful things are done. I suppose some of you are at the meetings like that too. And it's very glorious when the Lord really does. And he shows the preacher that he's not indispensable. When he can use others. And look, how wonderful that is. It's very good for us to learn and to walk in that way. Nevertheless, the Lord said, preach the word. Be instant, in season, when it's considered to be out of season. I put when it's considered. Be in season, out of season. That's right. In other words, there's never a season when you shouldn't be in season. Ready to preach the word. Amen. Instantaneously too. That means, I think, sometimes without preparation. Instantly. On the spot. Wonderful. That's how the word of God is. It's here. It's on the spot. It's instant. It's in the Spirit. Praise Him. And when we preach this kind of word, what wonderful things really take place. Tonight I want to talk to you about God and outworking from the great statement that we all know and love probably in the first epistle of John. If you like, picking up our theme or line of meditation in this great little epistle in the first chapter. And in verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. Now, that's a very wonderful thing, but the next phrase is just as important. In him there is no darkness.
Amen.
At all. Amen. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And John says that this is the message. I don't know what you're preaching as the message, but John said this is the message that we've heard of him and declare it unto you. And we do, we declare it to you, that God is light. And in him there is no darkness, none whatsoever. Of course, you're not surprised, are you? John is the great, shall I say, revelator of this truth. He takes it up in his gospel. You remember the light. We will be looking at it as we go through. He amplifies it in the epistle. Very wonderful. And then in the book of the Revelation, he shows us the city of life, New Jerusalem. What a precious and wonderful thing this is. We were thinking a little bit along this line sometime yesterday. But tonight, God is light. Isn't this a precious thing, beloved? We know that light is made up of many things. We used, when I was a boy, my wife and I think she's babysitting tonight, but we used to be in a little place down in, southeast. Thinking I'm up north, but in the southeast of England, we used to be in a little place just outside Tonbridge, actually, in Kent. And the man that was our pastor, overseer, and so on, he was an artist. He was a very, very fine artist, too. He was a commercial artist. He used to manage a big Fleet Street studio, commercial firm. And he was a very gifted man. And he bent his talents to the work of the Lord. And I was one of those very fortunate young fellows. And my wife was very blessed, too, in that he used to make models and use them, such as which when I see these that the sort of renowned children's men use today, I'm a little bit ashamed of them. They're not even in the same class. He used to make models and paint things that would astound these present day experts. And I think I still have some of the pictures that were passed on to me, sort of a law of heredity, when he went home to father. I don't use them. I think I've given some of them to my daughter, who's not here, who uses them herself, and all sorts of things he used to do. But anyway, one of the things he did one day was to show us what light was made of by just painting 7 colours, the correct ones, on a piece of paper, and spinning it round as fast as he could. And as it blurred into one, these 7 colours were just white. We were looking at a white revolving disc. There were 7 colours on it. Do you know the prism, etc.? I don't need to speak about this here. The breaking down of white light into 7 gorgeous colours. We've got a dyeing expert here, I believe, a D-Y-E-I-N-G expert. So you have to be very careful. But this is her. And it was very glorious when he taught us this simple truth in this manner. He used often, too, to talk about the rainbow with its 7 colours. And he had these 7 colours done in a bow form, and he related them all to them, to glory, to God. And we learned so much. Probably much of that which I say these days comes out of this vast store down in the subconscious. Praise God. I don't know. I owe so much to him and to God. But I want to talk to you about light. God is light, not just about the fact of light, but we may take some references there. Or as we go through, God may lead us this way. But the tremendous thing is that our God is absolutely light. Absolute. Praise Him. And you and I need to bear this in our hearts, that there's no darkness in Him whatsoever. I wonder if I need remind you, beloved, that the staggering and astounding truth that is revealed to us in the Gospels, though it's not my intention to go along this line now, is that we are told simply from God that we also can be in a place having no part dark in us. We can be in that same place as God by His wonderful grace. And what a tremendous thing this is, that it can be so. You will find that in Luke chapter 11. If you want to investigate, don't turn to it now. That is your reference. Instead, let's follow this through. When the Lord Jesus was on the earth, we'll go back to the Gospel of John, you will find him making this statement. I know that we're going to be on familiar ground all the way through. Let's take this familiar truth. In John 9, you will remember, the Lord did that glorious miracle. He met this man that was blind from his birth, and the wonderful miracle that he performed. And this is what he himself said. When his disciples said unto him, verse 2, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You know, it's one of the few places in the Bible where you get, you'll have to deal with it, I'm afraid, where you get a reference to the idea, the pagan idea of pre-existence. Because how could this man sin before he was born? This is the pagan idea that's inculcated in false religions. Who did sin? This man that he was born blind, or his parents? That's what they're saying. And the Lord hits it right bang on the head. He said, neither did this man sin, nor his parents. Full stop. Or if you like, semicolon. And then start again. But that the work of God might be performed in him. See? I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long, verse 5, as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And the Lord Jesus was precisely that. He was the light of the world. I'm going quickly at this juncture, taking good scriptural ground for the steps we take. Later on we will dwell more particularly on the things that I believe God wants us to consider in relationship to this great truth concerning ourselves. Nobody, I suppose, will contest the fact that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And yet, you remember this great qualifying thing. He says, and he said it himself, as long as I am in the world. He did not say, when I leave the world, I will always be the light of the world. That is not what he said. He said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. It's the same sort of thing as if they do these things in a green tree, what will they do in the dry? This is the idea. He was the light of the world whilst he was here. What a tremendous and glorious truth this is, beloved. And God wants us to understand this. Do you see? Particularly, this is said in relationship to a wonderful miracle. Let's go back and we'll trace this idea. We're going to Matthew's Gospel. And in the fourth chapter of Matthew, we see this. After the great temptation, in the opening part of the chapter, when Jesus proved that light is greater than darkness, in confirmation of the great statement that John made, that the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. I'm quoting from the first chapter of John now, but if you have RSV or something like that, or a good marginal emendation, you will know that where he says in John 1, the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not, it's overcame it not. And here is the instance. He went into the author of darkness. He went into the wilderness, praise God. The light went right out there unto the author of darkness, the one who is darkness personified, the devil, and overcame. The light overcame the darkness. It was all right enough. Of course, it's an inconceivable thing, the thing that I said, that having overcome the origins of darkness, the light could never, never now, during his lifetime on the earth, be overcome. He went out there and light overcame darkness. Amen. And 12. When Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, now it is testified of John, from John, Jesus' own lips, that John was a burning and a shining light. Do you remember that? This is his testimony of John. Now when he heard that the burning and shining light was put into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, that's the worst place of the lot, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them that sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprang up. Now let's have a look and see how this light operates, shall we? This is what he says. Glory be to God. He walks along the sea coast and Jesus begins to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He links up with the other light. The other light that said that, John Baptist. Alright? Now then, Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now the light's springing up. Follow it. And he went on from thence. He sees two other brethren, James and John, fishing with Zebedee their father, And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Praise God. And then Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness. Here's the light shining. Here's the light. Light's beginning to spring up now, healing all manner of sickness, all manner of disease among the people. You see, this is the testimony about John Baptist, that burning shining light. John did no miracle. John did no miracle. Now here comes the light, from whom that other light was lighted, John Baptist. And he's in the world. And they began to see that there's something more in this light than just saying, oh, I've come to light the portals of the kingdom. It's at hand now. You see? And in he, out he goes. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And the fame of him went throughout all Syria. They brought unto him all sick peoples that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And they said, we see. Of course they didn't say that. I'm putting the words into their mouth. We see. We need not have these torments. We need not have these devils. We need not be possessed like this.
We need not have this darkness over us. Isn't it amazing that a light can shine and still leave you in darkness, where John had been a light shining? You say, what? You see, the trouble with so much light shining is that it shines on partial things. Partial light. And he was filled with with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, was John. But here then is the great light. Amen. It's said of John, there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, a light, to bear witness of the light. That's right. He was not that light. But he was sent to bear witness of that light that was the true light, lighteth every man coming into the world. Glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that light shone in darkness, and the darkness didn't comprehend, didn't overcome it, and so out it goes. Isn't it marvellous, this consistency in the scripture? How it all works out. It's all so blessedly true. Where are all these people who can't accept that it's the inspired word of God? They're 10,000 times blinded. Here's the glorious truth. That's what those Pharisees said. Are we blind then? When he healed that other man. He said, you say you sin. You say you see, so your sin remains. Of course you're blind. It's no blindness like the blindness of prejudiced sin. Prejudges a thing. You can always tell the difference between prejudice and unbelief. Genuine unbelief. If you show genuine unbelief the truth, it will believe it. If it's prejudice, it won't. It's prejudged it. That's the difference. Prejudice is far worse than simple unbelief. Far worse. But let's go on, shall we? The light shining. Glory be to the name of the Lord. So now you know, when you read in the Bible about the light, Jesus was the light there, and these things that he was doing, the things that he was saying, the people he was calling, see the light that dawned on these people. They went on to under John Baptist, that great burning and shining light, all these people that we've spoken of, Simon, John, James, they've gone to John Baptist. They've been attracted to that wonderful light, and they've gone back fishing. Now the light comes, and there's an allurement about this light. There's a great call. Amen. And they leave and they start to follow. It's not the end of the story. We can't spend too much time on this at the moment. And then they begin to see, oh, we see. It's possible to fish men. Think of these ideas now that are beginning to dawn upon these darkened minds like light. Goes out sick, the diseased, tormented, the downtrodden, the Gentile Galileans, or the Galilean Gentiles, or whatever you want to say. That's what they were, Galilee of the Gentiles. That's where they gathered. They went out amongst the mixed multitude right for the start. I reckon that shook those people, didn't you? Went right out there. Glory. A light to lighten the Gentiles. That's what Simeon said when he was taken up into the temple. The glory of thy people Israel. How consistent is this glorious gospel, beloved? But this is the great truth that you and I have to understand. Now, again, passing on quickly. I want you to turn with me into the second epistle to Timothy. And Paul is writing in this wonderful testimony to Timothy, and this is what he says. It's a wonderful thing that he's saying. I like the very wording of the Bible. I love this authorized version. I really do. Not that I don't like the exactitude of some translations, but oh, the sweetness of it all. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy. Well, that's wonderful, isn't it? Glory. It's very specific, isn't it? Paul was an apostle to Timothy. The apostle of the promise of life which was in Christ Jesus was to Timothy. Amen. Isn't that a marvelous thing? Would you like to write your name in there? The promise of life which is in Christ Jesus to Timothy. Let's go on, shall we? He says, speaking of God, verse 8, the last word, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling. See, he went and called Peter, called John, called James. He's called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and deathlessness, that which is not subject to death, immortality, to light, through the gospel. Amen. Praise the glorious name of Jesus. Because this is what we're told in the beginning of John's gospel. It's wonderful how that when John starts off in the beginning, those opening words of his gospel are the seed plot from which all other gospel ideas are produced. Worked out. This is what he says. In him was life, and the life was the light. You see, he's brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And beloved, the gospel light is the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't this a marvelous thing that he brought this life to light? You know, nobody in the world, beloved, can say they're in darkness about this truth. Easy. Nobody else has brought their life to light, have they? You tell me of any other person in the world who has brought their life to light. None of them. Only Jesus. So much so, he said, all right, you'll kill me. Plunge me into utter darkness. I'll bring my life to light. And we'll see it again afterwards. There it is. Still shining. He abolished death. He's brought life, his life, God's life, to light. We can all see it. There it is. Hallelujah. No gospel's written about Buddha, are there? No gospel's written about Muhammad, are there? Why? They're dark. They're darkness. Hallelujah. He's brought, he's the only one that has. It's all, he's brought life to light. By the gospel. And Paul says, I'm appointed a preacher and a teacher. Gentiles to this. Oh, it is a marvelous thing. And you see, it's all there, beloved. And this is the point that God is leading us to in this great, marvelous truth, because we read in the Bible that as long as he was in the world, he was the light of the world. Well, has the light gone out?
No.
And now we're seeing why it hasn't gone out. Because he brought that life to life. That's what he did originally. In him was life. He came in the world. He brought the life to life. He was the light of the world. They could all see what was in God's wonderful heart for them. Amen. And then he died, and he death, darkness couldn't overcome him. When he met the master and source of darkness, and the most terrible darkness that the devil had ever created, the death the tomb, all the despair, all the hopelessness of death. Oh, I tell you, death's a hopeless thing, isn't it? Everything dies in everybody else when anybody dies. That's right, isn't it? No more hopes for that person. I mean, outside of Christ. There aren't any. Terrible thing is death. Jesus goes down into the very shades and very dark, so he'll breathe in all the light, still gloriously shining. We're in the great gospel age of light. Let's trace it one step further at least, and then we'll take a divergent chain and a connected one. And this time we'll go into John's epistle again. 1 John chapter 2. In the second chapter of 1 John, isn't the Bible a thrilling book when you really get down to it? 1 John chapter 2, and this is what we read. Brethren, verse 7, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. Amen. The darkness is utterly past, beloved. What a tremendous and glorious truth this is. And let me say something here, will you, beloved? I say this quite often, and I want to keep on saying it. I hear people pray. People that ought to know better. People that are leaders of other people. Sometimes I wonder if, after all, they are not yet but blind leaders of the blind, though they wouldn't like it to be said concerning them. Thou stand up and pray about going into darkness and coming out of darkness. And you hear it from the lips of the princes amongst us. Now I want to say you, tell you that this is not true. That it's the true light that shineth. The darkness is past. Now then, do you believe that? The darkness is past. It passed when Jesus passed out of the tomb. Glory. The true light is now shining. But you won't know anything about it unless the rest of that verse is true in your experience. That it's true in him and in you. That's how you know that the darkness is all past. It's got to be true in you and in him. Now this is a divine principle in the lives of the sons of God, the saints of the Most High. What's true in him is true in me. That's right. This is the thing we were saying this afternoon. These people that stand up and say that, Lord, by nature, we're sinners. Well, we aren't. That darkness is past. Glory. Amen. But the people preach it. The people pray it. The darkness is past. There's a new nature. And the nature of God is light. And I have it in me. Now let's trace this thing right through, shall we? We'll go to James. And we'll see what James says. Now we ought to believe James, because you understand he was the sort of first elder and apostle of the church, the real basic church in Jerusalem. Alright? James chapter 1. And in the first chapter of James, let's read what the truth is. You're not to err, beloved brethren, in verse 16. Don't go wrong here. So many people go wrong here. You are not to make a mistake. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of... Now, see that next word? Don't misquote it. The S is most important. The Father of lights, as he was the father of the original light, the Lord Jesus, now God is the Father of lights. Amen. You will understand that even in creatorial power, he gave lights, the great light to rule the day, lesser lights to rule the night, and a lot of other lights. That's right, in the firmament. Now, as in the natural, so in the spiritual. The natural is an analogy of the spiritual. And God is the Father of lights, and when he begets a son, he begets light. Amen. Which thing is true in him and in us? Here it is. The Bible's blessedly consistent, isn't it? Whichever way you go at it, can't be broken. That's what Jesus said. The word of God can't be broken. Amen. And I point out the importance of that S. You know that Paul turns a whole doctrinal position on that S in Galatians 3. He said, not to seeds as of many, but as of seed as one, which is Christ. But here it's lights, plural. And when God begets a son, this is how he begets him. And listen to what you're told. There's no variableness in him. He doesn't vary from Jesus. And no shadow of turning. And not a shade of thought of him turning from Jesus. This original path. The one. The first son is the prototype, if you like, the great beginner of all the rest of the sons. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. All right then, the Father of lights, which means, my brother, my sister, that I may quite truly, if it be true in you, and I'm not saying it isn't, but let's get onto the right ground. Hello, light? He's the Father of lights. He's not the Father of half lights. He's not the Father of part lights. Part light, part dark. He's the Father of light. Hallelujah. And isn't it a tremendous thing? Look at verse 18. Of his own will begat he us, not of a mixture of his own and mine, or the will of Satan, what Satan wants in us, or what the world wants in us. He begat us of his own will, with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Having dealt on that some few weeks ago, I won't come onto that part now. But this is the great and wonderful thing. When God begot me, I testify to you, beloved, I've got all light inside. Yes, I did. God made me of light. Hallelujah. Oh, it was so wonderful. The proof of that was that people soon began to see. They can always see when there's light around. That's true. They can always see. That's what light's for. This is what Paul says in the Ephesian letter. Whatsoever doth make manifest is light. That's right. Well, what are you making manifest? This is the line I want to come on. What are you making manifest? You know what manifest is, don't you? Plain. Obvious. Unavoidably plain. So manifest you can't miss it. People haven't got to search for anything that's manifest. We talk about the manifestation of the Spirit. That's right. If anybody walks in, they've got to search for it. They can hear it. They can see it. Now, this is what God's talking about. He's the Father of lights. Blessed God, blessed be his name, is not the Father of twilights. two lights, in other words, put O for I. He's the Father of lights, exactly as Jesus was. That's why he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Go back with me to Matthew chapter 5. And in the 5th chapter of Matthew, this is how he spoke. Verse 14. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works. What are the good works? We've just come from 4th chapter earlier. Look at his good works. The sick are healed, the diseased are cured, the possessed are dispossessed, glory, the lunatic are healed. Glory to his wonderful name. He shed his light over all the great kingdom of darkness, and a terrible kingdom it was. And he says, now your light's to shine before men, that they're going to see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now I know that good works consist of other things, and perhaps better things than performing miracles in the physical sense. I said better, very knowledgeably. There are better things than people getting healed.
Yes.
Let's keep this very clearly in mind. They are not the sum total of good works. Not these things. But nevertheless, beloved, this is the way he began to shed his radiance over all mankind. And I have already noted with you in John chapter 9 that it was in this context of giving a blind man his sight that he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. That's a very, very wonderful truth. Go back with me to that section in John 9. I'm not going to examine it with you, but I want to show you something that you ought to see. For in the preceding chapter, you will remember, he says this, your father Abraham, verse 56, rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, amen, amen. I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And you would have been running for your life. But Jesus saw a blind man. He healed him. Significant, isn't it? I've said often that chapter divisions destroy the blessed intent of the Spirit, most often in the Bible. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He sees a blind man, it doesn't matter whether they've got mountains to throw at him, leave alone stones. He stops there, beloved, and he heals that blind man. Wonderful, wonderful truth. The light of the world. Now, beloved, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. And see this glorious reference to a city. A city that's set on a hill.
You remember the mountain and New Jerusalem, all the great references linked in Scripture.
Set on the hill, can't be hid.
And you are to let your brilliance, your radiance, shine out before men, that men may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Oh, beloved, is this really true of you? True in him and in us. You see, these men of old that wrote these books, they were living in this. Wonderfully living it. Gloriously true. Is this true in him and in us? Now let's go back to that epistle of John, shall we? I hope you're not tired of searching this precious book. I hope you love it. And in this wonderful epistle, this is what he says. You remember we started reading at verse 7 of that second chapter. Let's look up to verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we're in him. Alright? That's it. Oh no, now he's going on again. He that saith he abideth in him ought also himself to walk as he walked. Verse 18 of Matthew chapter 4. We're tying up all our references before we proceed any further. Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee. That was his walk when he started out as the great light. Them that sat in the region of shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Jesus was walking. Out goes his call. Out goes his life. Out flows his ministry. You've got to walk as he walked. I mean, this sort of sentimental stuff that's put over, you know, I walk today where Jesus walked. People go mad on it. By long playing records, and poor Charles Wesley lies in a discard. This is our age in which we're living. It's sentimental nonsense, all that. Here's the truth. You've got to walk as he walked. The light walked, and so the light shone. Amen. You've got to let your light shine. Praise his wonderful name. Now we'll look into the Philippian letter. And in this great letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians, in the second chapter, let's read it, shall we? Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not a thing to be grasped at, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You remember he was found in fashion as a man. The shepherd said, let's go back to heaven and see this thing which the angels have made known unto us. And they did say, we found him, of whom Moses and the prophets, Jesus of Nazareth, found him. He was found in fashion as a man,
Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he is obedient unto death, the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, and so on. This is what this great man Paul is saying by the Spirit. Really, could he have honestly written this letter to you, saying, you're shining as a light? You know, it's pretty bad if an apostle of the Lord can't see you shining, whatever in the world do you expect an unsaved person to see? Nothing. You'll just be part of the darkness. He wrote to these people, he said, you are shining. He didn't say, now you've got to try and be alive. You know, beloved, this way the gospel is belittled and watered down by transcriptions of thought. He says, you're shining. He doesn't say you've got to. He says, you're shining. You're shining as lights. You see, God begets lights. He's never the father of anything else but light. You see, in old times they said, he dwelt in the darkness. God has said he has dwelt in the thick darkness. In the New Testament, glory be to God, he dwells in the light, unapproachable. Not in the darkness now. That's why I can't sing the hymn that says, though the darkness hide thee, that's all old covenant. He's in the light. I may be unapproachable. Glory! Yeah. Why do people think in terms of a covenant that was given before Jesus' blood was shed? And pass on their unbelieving hearts and notions. He dwells in the light. I'm the light, said Jesus. It came. But they still go back thinking in the terms. It's all biblical, inspired of the Spirit. But for that time, it was truth then. There's been a change, even in paradise, there's been a change. Since Jesus died and rose, I won't discuss that. Things have changed. God opened everybody's eyes. You say you sin, you say you see, you be careful. That's what they said about, we see. If you will stick to it that you see, and your sin's there, what? Can't you see that? Glory. He's a father of lights. He never begot one single shade. in his life. There's no shadow of turning with him. It's high noon. Wonderful. And beloved, it's a glorious thing. It's a glorious thing. You see what he told these people? I don't know whether you believe this. Do you believe your Bible? If I said, now hands up if you believe the Bible, there wouldn't be one of us that wouldn't put our hands up. But are you sure you're not believing what you think it says? This is the trouble. We've got a deceiver in our own mind. If we're not very careful. Here's the truth. He says, wherefore, my beloved, verse 12, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now, much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do you believe that? I believe it's God in me, William, you know. I don't believe it's me. See, you've got to have courage to believe what the Bible says. It takes a bit of doing. It's God that works in you to will and to do his good pleasure. He's taken me over. I've been born from above. He's the Father of the light in me. Yeah? Glory be to God. Yeah, that's right. It's God that's working in me because God's living in me. And I can work out my own salvation. That's what Jesus did. Jesus worked out his own salvation. Should you think to yourself, no, that's not what I'm saying. That's what your mind's thinking. The salvation that was in him for men, he worked out so that men could have it. That's what you've got to do. You've got to work out what's in you so that men can have it. And if you read what Paul says to Timothy, he says, if you'll do these things, you'll save yourself and them that hear thee. God raises up saviors in this age. That's right. Are you a saviour? No, not the saviour. No, no, small s. Nothing to do with expiation of sin here. Nothing to do with redemption of souls here. Not your own, leave alone anybody else's. But working out this salvation that's inside. Oh, it's a thrill. Men see your good works and glorify your Father. He's a Father of light. Amen. And men see they need not be bound by this. And men see they need not be enslaved by this habit. Why, here's a man walking free. So can I be. Glory. That's the way. That's why they followed Jesus. He says, you've got the words of eternal life. We make them lovely quotes for sermons. They were talking reality. They heard words that were eternal life for them. Coming out of that man. The light of the world. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Not just the light of the church. Light of the world. Glory. Are you? You are the light of the world. In the world a dark place. What's the trouble? Do you know what this lad said to me after this afternoon's meeting? Brought his Bible over to me. He turned up, he got it open to a scripture. And he said this in Romans 10, 17. Faith cometh by hearing. You know what I said about the Word of God this afternoon? And hearing by the Word of God. He says, this is the reason then why does not people don't get faith? Because I don't speak the Word of God. He took it on himself, you see. So I'm responsible then for the condition in the world. Yeah. Bless God for a heart that's awake to it. If people don't hear the word of God come through you, they don't read the Bible. You can talk about the Bible in the word of God. tears. They don't need it. But they can't stop you talking to them. You've got to talk the word of God to them. This is it. It's the same truth. Look at all this darkness. I testify to you, my beloved brothers and sisters, that wherever I go, people come and say, I've never heard this before, brother. Never heard it. Men older than I. What's gone wrong? I'm talking about in Pentecostal circles too. You're the light, man. You're the light. They haven't got a chance. He said, you're shining as lights in the world. Oh, glory. Holding forth the word of life. Not a book. They hadn't got one. If Paul meant the Bible, then he was mad. They hadn't got it. Oh, what did they hold forth? They held forth their Jesus. They held forth that glory. They held forth their own life came out of them, my beloved brother and sister. That's what's coming out of you. Your life. See, that's why every time you've got to confess that Jesus is Lord. Not just repeat the text. Does your heart confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord? It won't do unless he is Lord and dominating all your life. Your tongue can't confess it. You're only an empty belief. I confess this to you, Lord, because it's been proved in my life. I can confess he's Lord. Well, don't, of course, that means you don't sort of kick the cat and fly the tempest. Of course I don't. You don't practice subtle deceits? Of course I don't. Of course you don't. He's the father of lights. This is it, you see. Your knees bow to Jesus. It's real, it's genuine. Amen. You can hold forth the word of life. To men shine as a light in the world. They see your good works. It's God that's working in you to will and to do. His good pleasure. Working out your own salvation. It's yours. Amen. Working it out before men. This is the salvation I'm saved with. This that I show you. This that I do to you. This that I say to you, that's my salvation. Glory. Not say the Bible says, it's good to have a Bible to say that. Perhaps it might do good for God to shove us all down amongst a lot of heathens and pagans that haven't got one. Then we'd really be on the spot. I couldn't read anyway. How do you think they went on 150 years ago? Perhaps some of us might have grandmothers that we can remember that couldn't read or write, I don't know. Not so far back, is it? Not so far back. That isn't to be said, that isn't to say that we shouldn't train everybody to read the book, don't misunderstand me. But beloved, it's this life. It's true in him. And in me, and he knows it is, and I know it is. This is a wonder of it. And this will never exalt a man. It will bring him on his knees. He'll kiss those bleeding feet. He'll confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, I wonder that this could be so. I dare think it, Lord, if it wasn't true. He's down there, as Wesley says, let me into nothing fall. Thou Christ be all in all. That's right. Then he will be willing in you. Then he will be doing in you. Then he will be light in you. Then he will be everything. This is how it goes. This is the glory of it. Let me gain perfection's height. The depths of humble love. This is the glory of it all. And we move in this. Now, it's got to be so real in us, beloved. We'll go back to Matthew's Gospel. And in Matthew's Gospel, we could do it in other Gospels, the Synoptics, but we'll stop in this one of Matthew for tonight. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, we read this wonderful story. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter and James and John, his brother, breathed them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. His face that shines the sun, his raiment was white as the night, and so on and so on. That was him. He saw the light of the world there. And when he got up into that heavenly, glorious kingdom atmosphere, he was the light of that kingdom too. Now I want to ask you, if God decided on a transfiguration for each one of us here, now, in this moment, on what you really are inside, came out on the outside. See? He took them in the mountain, up a mountain. He was only transfigured. That's all he was. He wasn't basically changed. Something happened to his figure. That's the thought. Not him, basically. Wonderful things happened to Jesus, but after it's all done, the angel said, the same Jesus is coming back. The Bible says, the same Jesus, yesterday, today, forever. It's only a transfiguration, glorification. How about this? Basically the same. What do you think is going to happen to you when Jesus comes? What do you really think? Oh, I'm going to be caught up. It's good. Well, all right. What do you think? Have a body of glory. It's beautiful. You can build it all up in Scripture. But beloved, if you were suddenly taken up into the kingdom of God and transfigured, would you shine? Shine. Would you shine in the company of Moses and Elijah and outshine? You ought to. I've told you about the old covenant already. Would you? Very fashion of his face often. I've seen that in meetings, haven't you? I've seen people's faces change when the glory of God's come. I reckon if I'd have looked up this morning, I'd have seen some changed faces in this room. Wonderful. When what you really are inside that humanity of yours shines out. Have you ever seen what's inside some people's humanities? Great. Furrowed across the brow, knitted eyebrows, dark jowls. God never gave birth to that. Father of lights. You'll light people's way to hell or darken them to hell that way. I didn't say you've got to walk about practicing pulling nice faces in front of a glass and that's all I mean. That's all part of the darkness. But just to be yourself as you are with God. Now, beloved, this has got to be. Unless you're like that, and what Jesus was saying to these men was this, really, unlike what you see through and through. That's what he was saying. There's nothing dark in me. I'm like it through and through. Amen. Wonderful. Wonderful. We're back on our transparency where we were last night. Through. That's transfiguration. I'm going to ask you this very softly.
If you don't listen, you won't hear it. Because you want the Lord to come and do that to you now. Really. Wasn't God, Jesus, gracious? He didn't have John and Peter and James transfigured. What do you want that to be ever? Well, you'll find it in the next chapter. Satan, get behind me, Satan. Satan would have appeared there. The satanic nature, he'd have been transfigured. And he was following the light of the world. Am I right or wrong? I didn't write the Bible. It's there. Get behind me, Satan.
What? What?
What were you saying this afternoon about the smell? There's a satanic smell about what comes out of people's mouths. I don't mean bad breath. I mean a wrong heart and a disposition that's never been reached, though garnished beautifully on the outside. And this is the tremendousness of it all. He's the Father of lights. Amen. I love this book for telling me the truth. I love it for disabusing my thinking. I love it for all its disillusionment. And I love it for its glorious light and power and wonder and revelation. It tells me the truth, whether I want it to be told or not. The more I want to know the truth, the more it will reveal the truth to me. It's true in him and in me. It wasn't true in Jesus and Peter then. It was after Pentecost. True in him and in us. John, it wasn't true in John. It wasn't true in John and James then, but after the blessed Holy Ghost came, it was true in him and in them. They could write these precious things with joy. Amen. They gloried and rejoiced and praised and did everything as God wanted them to do it. This is what Pentecost meant to me, beloved. This is what God did for me. Amen. I'd like you to, I was going to say turn, but I don't think you'll have to turn to one of the most famous chapters of the Bible, Luke 15. I don't think you'll need to turn to it. You know the precious threefold parable that Jesus told in Luke 15. They talk about the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's only a third of the parable, actually. You can't say the third of the parable, so they call it the parable. Three pictures of one great thing. Listen. The first one you know very well. Shepherd who finds the sheep. That's the son. The last one you know very well. The father who receives his son. In the middle, there's a picture of the other person of the triune God. The Holy Ghost. Under the figure of the woman. And she loses a piece of silver. And what does she do? You know what she does? What's the first thing she did? Yes, it does. First thing she did. Lit a candle. Could it have been you? Would the Holy Ghost take you to find a precious piece that was lost? Could it? Could it?
Holy Ghost lit a candle. When I thought of this, my heart sort of all melted down inside. I ran about like to wax like Jesus' bones on the cross. I understand these figures of speech. And I think I'd be melted away till I wasn't as big as a spot. Lord, Lord. To find a precious piece of silver is redemption in Scripture. Find one piece of that redemption. One precious soul. I don't want to use the cliches. Could he light you? Are you a light in his hand? I searched diligently with you to find someone. You to find someone in the hands of the Holy Ghost. Now listen, that's words. If you're a child of God, that's what you're there for. You're living where you live, and working where you work, and studying where you study, or whatever you do. Preach where you preach, for that reason. Yes, hallelujah. A light. Now then, you're to shine as lights in this world. Lights. People have got to see. See. You know, when I was a child, I spake as a child, but I thought as a child. I understood as a child, and I used to sing, "This little light of mine, yes, I'm going to let it shine. Shine all over Exeter." Don't you grow up if you lose that truth. If growing up means loss of that, God have mercy on you. You're growing down. Children always get it straight and understand it. Grown ups get complicated and think they know better. Now the tremendous thing is this. Beloved, that you're to be a light. You're here for this. And altogether, you remember, if I may go back over the truth, he said to these disciples, "You altogether are a city set on a hill that can't be hid." Of course, the truth was that he was up on a hill. When he saw the multitudes, he went up on the mountain. When he was set, his disciples came unto him. There you are, there's the light of the world. Jesus is in the middle. All his disciples, all right. The city, four square, on the mountain top. See? And then he showed you the substance and quality of the light. Listen. Blessed are the pure in heart. They see God. They were looking at him. Sniffed to him. He was at a little door. They didn't understand. Their hearts weren't pure. But I understand, do you? Blessed are the pure in heart. All faces turned inward to Jesus. No shadow of turning. We're lights in the world. Glory. We're one, four, square, solid, light. Inextinguishable. Aren't we? When the blessed Lord, to continue the figure, comes down and stares, and John turns to see him on Patmos. You know he's just one blaze of light and glory. And standing where? In the midst of the lights, the seven golden candlesticks. Isn't he? That's where he's standing. The light in the midst of the lights. It's the same picture, Matthew 5. Only now it's in glory and in the spirit and in reality. That their fleshy minds couldn't grasp then. He goes right on. Blessed are the peacemakers. They'll be called the children of God.
Blessed are you when men persecute you and revile you. You soon see whether you've got the quality of the light in you. If that puts the light up. Eh? You ought to read those Beatitudes. That's you. Mm. In another form. Mm. If you were transfigured, that's what should shine out. These are the glorious qualities that make up the light. Mm. Amen. Mm. And you are supposed to shine like that. Jesus, 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 in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And listen to what he said. Listen to what he said. And he said it to the choicest one of the churches, Ephesus, our alluded candlestick. Historically, it's happening. It happened historically because it happened spiritually first. And they were ablaze with the light, weren't they? Mm-hmm. In the beginning. Oh Lord, keep me burning and shining. Why, John Baptist will shame me if not. He so burned and shone that all said, put out that light! And his image given at once said, put out that light! And his dancing daughter said, put out that light! He burned and shone! So, that's why. Are you good enough to have your head cut off? You shine so strongly that you have walked to lose your life. I referred to a rector of a university earlier this weekend. They put out his light while they were able. I don't say he was a wonderful spiritual man, but I honour him. Excuse the word, some Christians haven't got enough guts to be light. They are no different from the surrounding darkness. That's the tragedy. They'll acquiesce in the darkness. They'll even talk it up as though it's to be accepted and normalized. And God forgive us and save us unless he comes and puts out lights in these dark closing days. You won't hesitate, there's no humbug about Jesus. He said, I'll put your light out. That's what I'll do. For that light there at Ephesus was supposed to be a representation on the earth of that one that stood in the midst. They couldn't see him, but they saw that, what was supposed to be a lie. You said, that's not a true representation of me. Smudge it out. Under certain conditions. I'd love to spend the next hour on that wonderful letter to the Ephesians there. That letter of love from Jesus in the second chapter of the book of the Revelation. I'd love to. We all have a lot more meetings, but there you are. The glory of it all is this light. Are you a light? I ask you now, my beloved brothers and sisters, are you a light? Is he on this count your father? He's the father of lights. In him is no darkness at all. None. Any new? Any new? May the Lord so minister this precious, precious truth to us tonight.
in our hearts. I want him to minister it to me. I want to be able to walk through some gallery. I want to be able to walk by some valley of the shadow of death and say, upon you the light is shining. I've got no big idea as I use this in a sense figuratively, but the urge is real. You needn't be bound, my devils. I want the light to shine out in all its radiance over the misery and darkness and bondage of men. You needn't be driven to lunacy. We've had a girl in our midst this weekend, you didn't know, but she'd been on the verge. God delivered her. She was through this morning. They need not be in lunacy. They need not be under some thing of the enemy. They need not. None of them. Let them see the light. Glory. I want them to do that too. But I want them more than to just to see the rays of the light. Because that's what they were. They're just rays of light. These things. I want them to see the light from whence the rays come. Amen. Well, I know that we saw last evening that the Lamb is the light of New Jerusalem, the city. It's true. But beloved, it's got to be the Lamb in us all. I was touching it this afternoon. The nature, the spirit, the attitude. That's right. The utterances. The sound of you. The smell of you. The taste of you. Amen. Amen. Let's pray, beloved. Thank you.